Checkpoint Intimates.
Hello, and you are here with another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are the most sexually explicit gaming podcast on the internet. My name is Elliot. I'm joined by Luke.
Do you think that's true? I really hope that's true. That's what I want.
Like, I really want like somebody to contact us and be like, you guys have won an award for the most sexually explicit... I'm like, yay!
Or have someone contact us and go, actually, we're the most sexually explicit, and get into a sexually explicit podcast war.
I am so down for that.
Right?
Whoever's listening.
And we just play general jousting against them just constantly, which would be great.
On this week's show, I want to talk about the idea of video game releases, whether they're kind of this all-encompassing package or whether they do these sectional releases where they'll segment parts of their game off and release them in little bundles, because it's happened before and it seems to be a bit of an industry trend. For instance, Fortnite. Released their PvE game mode, and then they released their Battle Royale mode. Two completely separate entities, but the same game.
Yeah.
Whereas you can look at other games, for instance, Call of Duty Black Ops 4, which is coming out soon, that has the single-player campaign, the zombies, and it has their Blackout, which is all going to be in one product. You can't play one of them unless you own all three, purchasing the full thing. So it made me wonder, like, which process is better? Because we have plenty of examples of games doing it one way versus the other way. What do you reckon, Luke? Do you have a preference?
It's a pretty new idea too, right? Because you're right, I mean, the games like Fortnite recently where, you know, they released two sections of this game, but you could argue with Fortnite specifically that maybe they didn't anticipate even really doing the Battle Royale, and then they tacked it on later. And they thought, well, we don't know if this is fully fleshed out enough to charge money for it, so we'll do it for free. And then it sort of took off in this way. Yeah. I don't even think they were expecting it to be as big as it is.
No.
And good on them for doing
but
it.
But you can see the benefit of it, right? Like, if every single Fortnite Battle Royale player had to purchase the full PvE game mode, they wouldn't have the player base they have now. It wouldn't be the success that it is now.
Exactly.
And you see other companies potentially looking to emulate that. Like, I remember when all the rumblings were going on about the Battle Royale mode for the upcoming Battlefield game, but they're like, well, it's probably going to end up being a standalone experience because it may not be ready for the release of the full game. When it does release, we want to have as many people playing it as possible. So it's potential that Battlefield is going down the Fortnite route and they're going to have these two modes completely separate to one another, meaning that if you want to purchase just the Battle Royale or just a single-player campaign, you can do that without participating in the other version. But Call of Duty isn't doing that. Red Dead Redemption 2 isn't doing that either, because they've just announced all their plans for Red Dead Online, which is exactly the same as Grand Theft Auto 5 Online.
Yeah.
But you need to buy the single-player campaign to have access to it.
It's a mode. It's a mode in the package.
It's so much bigger than a mode, isn't it?
Well, it feels bigger. The way they market it and what they do with it is definitely... Because, you know, ultimately, with a game like Red Dead Redemption and even GTA back in the day, it has a ceiling, right? Yeah, it's an open world, but, like, eventually you're going to have done all the missions, finished all the bonus content, the DLC, and you'll be done. So the online kind of gives a game like that room to breathe beyond those campaigns.
I think what in my mind, what differentiates itself from just, a mode of a game is all the ongoing development, right? Like, you look at GTA 5 Online, that had development going well beyond release, whereas the single-player campaign didn't even get that much attention.
Yeah.
So they were focusing on this and saying, this is a huge priority for us. We're going to, like, put all of our development plans on this. We're not even going to have DLC for the main campaign. So it goes so much further than just a simple tacked-on mode for a video game, because the developers themselves, they're marketing it, they're putting their money behind it, and they're developing for it in a way that makes it feel like it's its own experience.
Yeah, it does make you think about also sort of games as a service, like an ongoing contribution to a video game. So even like with Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Ubisoft have already laid out the plans they've got for that game moving forward. They've said, we're not going to do an Assassin's Creed game at all next year. We're taking a year off, which they have done before with great success. And they said, we want to make sure that Odyssey has enough content constantly coming out for it, for free as part of it, that you'll keep playing the game beyond just the story or beyond just when you finish the campaign. So that's a smart strategy. And I think when it comes to breaking up games the way that Fortnite have done it, the way that Red Dead have chosen not to do it, it all ties into those business strategies and those plans, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Red Dead Redemption 2... we don't know exactly how good the game is going to be, but the hype surrounding that game and the brand relationship that Rockstar have with its customers, with gamers who love their products, they're going to buy this game. This game is going to be huge sales, regardless of its quality. It'll be good quality because we know they make good games, right? So I can't imagine it being a fizzer. But they can easily say they don't need to segment their game into different portions. They don't have to go, here's the main game, here's the online, buy them separately, this one's free, this one's not. They can confidently say, buy the game, get the content, and you get all of it with that game purchase. Because they know people are going to buy it.
Oh, yeah.
And Call of Duty is the same.
I think Rockstar and Call of Duty are in a very special position where they're able to do these things that other companies aren't.
They have control over it.
And I think for GTA 5, we've seen it work undoubtedly. Like, you look at the sales figures for GTA 5, and still, like today, 5 years after the game release, it'll be in the top 10 chart of the highest selling game.
And this is across multiple generations of gaming now as well.
And the reason it's still there, I imagine, is GTA Online.
Yeah.
GTA Online is so popular that people are willing to purchase the full game just to access online. And if they get banned from online, they'll purchase the full game again so that they can get back into it. So it's a really crazy kind of position to be in. I don't know about Call of Duty and whether they've gone for the best approach personally. I think Rockstar certainly are in a very powerful position and they've managed to do it successfully. But it does make me wonder, as somebody who has been playing the Blackout beta and somebody who would be totally willing to spend $30 or $40 to buy Call of Duty Blackout because that's what I'm interested in, but you're asking me to spend $90 to buy the full package? No, probably not. Like, it's not worth it for me at that point.
But isn't it, though? Because, I mean, look at it this way, right? You're going to pay $40 for Blackout, right? The retail price, day one here in Australia, on most places, will be $69, not $90. So, in reality, you're looking at spending an extra $20 to $30, and you get the Call of Duty campaign, which is good quality, and the multiplayer
if
you want
it. I'm not saying it's not worth it, but as somebody who isn't as interested in Call of Duty single player or multiplayer or zombie modes, all I really want is the Blackout mode.
But at
especially
the same time,
this game won't even have a single player campaign.
True. But at the same time, you're someone that has not bought Call of Duty.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And now, because of Blackout, you're considering purchasing it.
No, I'm not, though. I would if it was, like, cheaper, if it was a standalone product.
But it'll be on sale in a couple of months. Like, Christmas sales, you're looking at probably
$40. Call of Duty games never go on sale.
Oh, BS. Yes, they do.
Nah.
Yeah, they do.
I reckon I could go on Steam right now, look at, like, Black Ops 1,
Steam,
and it'll still
PC
be, like, $80.
Boy. Oh, it's on console gaming, right? Consoles, the physical copies of games go on sale pretty quick.
Yeah.
That game will be $40 by Christmas. So that's when I'm going to invest in it and play the Blackout game mode.
What if the player base has like dwindled so much by that point that it's not even worth it?
But don't you think that Call of Duty and Activision are adaptable enough where if the player base is dwindling and they attribute that to lack of sales, which I doubt, because Call of Duty always tops sales charts anyway, they could easily make that portion accessible and free later.
Do you think they'd do that?
To boost the player base.
I don't know that they can do that.
Why not?
Because that's part of their game. Imagine if they said, like last year's Call of Duty, they said, oh, the single player is now free. People would be like, what? We just purchased the full product. That's part of the full product.
I'm not saying,
and now you're removing it.
I don't know if I'm saying like, you know, just like 3 months later. But I mean like in 6 months, right? When they announce the next Call of Duty, inevitably.
They could. I don't know that Activision is that flexible on their Call of Duty franchise, though. They tend to be pretty... I mean, they're winning, so they don't have to be flexible.
But the issue with that is, and I guess it's an issue that multiplayer games that release so regularly have anyway, is when you do Call of Duty next year, if Blackout's a big success, and it looks great, you've played it and love it, so by all measures, it'll be a big success. Call of Duty comes out next year like it always does, right? In 12 months' time. Do they do a Blackout multiplayer and it's new again, and
that's
they scratch and wipe the old one. Or not wipe it, but, you know, then you've got me playing Blackout from 2018, you're playing the Blackout from 2019, but we can't play together. Or are they going to find a way to make it this consistent or persistent ongoing Blackout they can add to? Because PUBG and Fortnite have shown you can have this Battle Royale with the same map, make some patches and modifications here and there, but essentially it's the same game for over a year,
oh,
two
yeah.
years.
So, like, yeah, these Battle Royale games, they're not intended to die off in like 6 months or or 12 months. They're intended to be these ongoing processes, the same as games like Rainbow Six Siege or Overwatch, where it's like there's not going to be an Overwatch 2 because Overwatch is too successful for that. Just keep evolving Overwatch as we know it. So that is such a real, that's a really good question, because well, I can't imagine I can't imagine they do Blackout again. But if they don't do it again, that means Blackout as it exists only exists to people who bought Call of Duty Black Ops 4, which kind of brings me back to my point that it really should be its own thing.
Yeah. But
then again, who knows? It might be smart of them not to do it that way, force everyone to buy the full thing.
But they want to make money as well, and that's, it's so tricky. You know, ultimately, all this comes down to is what's the best way for them to get the dollar bills?
Yeah.
How are they going to do that? And if doing it free and having loot boxes or whatever like they do with Fortnite and PUBG, or season passes or whatever it might be, if that's the best plan for them, then sure. But they've chosen the business plan, which is no. It's a once-off purchase that comes in the game.
I think, unfortunately, what they've done is they've done a business plan that has worked for Call of Duty in the past, whereas they haven't done a business plan that has worked for Battle Royale in the past. They're going for a new thing. No Battle Royale game has cost full price when it released. None. Because it's a new genre, and it's a genre that very quickly moved into a free-to-play space with Fortnite just leading that helm, saying, well, if we're going to do it successfully, this is how we're doing it. So Call of Duty is really competing in a market that is sided against it already. I think it's going to do well because it's Call of Duty and because it happens to be a really good game mode, but it does make me wonder, 1 year in the future, if this is still a booming game, because it could be. But well, they might be killing it by doing this method.
There's lots of questions between now and then that we need to figure out in regards to whether it will still be a booming game or not. And part of that is, which we talked about before as well, I know we're going on tangents a little bit, but it's about...
We love a good tangent.
We love a tangent. Whether or not Battle Royale is still going to be a thing in a year's time.
I can't imagine Fortnite is dead in a year.
Oh, not dead, but I mean, surely, like anything, something new will come out, right?
Sure.
Will there be a new mode that takes over or not? I mean, I guess Team Deathmatch was the standard for a very, very long time. It took 20 years before Battle Royale is now kind of feeling like it's becoming the standard. The Call of Duty are doing it, who is a franchise that reinvented modern-day multiplayer consoles.
Everybody is looking into it. Every developer who's ever made a first-person shooter multiplayer is saying, well, are we doing Battle Royale? Are we jumping on that bandwagon? It seems like more and more everybody is saying yes.
But going back to your original topic, do you split a game or do you sell it by itself? I mean...
Do you have a preference?
I like the idea of it being separated because I like the idea of... It's rare that I'll have a game where I want to do the single player and the multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't normally happen for me. And that's where I think the divide normally is. You've got your single player, then you've got your co-op and your multiplayer. Unless you're a game like an Anthem or a Division or something where it's
all the one thing.
All co-op multiplayer, and that's the point of the game, which I absolutely love as well, where it all sort of blends together into one seamless world. Can I vote for that? That's what I like. I like when it's like the Division. and it's like you've got this big single-player game, or it's co-op, and you can do it with your friends, and every mission is co-op, or you can venture into the Dark Zone or venture into the multiplayer portion of the game, and it's still that same experience, that same game world, just a different portion of that game world. I like that.
I totally agree. Like, some games, that would work perfectly, but I just think the problem is some games it wouldn't. Battle Royale being a perfect example. Like, that's not a single-player game. Like, it can never be.
True.
And I don't want that as a genre to die off just yet, so that you can have your utopic vision of co-op only.
You obviously have a preference of what you prefer in this situation.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's the... It's just... The game is healthiest when it has the largest player base, and I think Battle Royale is the perfect example of that, because you need 100 people, and if you're going to have matchmaking and servers like located in like specific areas like Australia, then in order to get a 100-person game without waiting forever, then you need the largest possible player base. And Fortnite proved that the way to do that is to make it free and accessible and fun.
And cross-platform.
And that's why so many developers are jumping on cross-platform, because they're like, we know that the health of our game is dependent on our players, but Call of Duty has gone, well, I think their decision, Activision's decision to leave it as one entity, is them saying, we care more about the kind of initial burst of money we're going to get from this than any kind of prolonged sales figures into the future, or any prolonged, or like just the health of their video game, like well into the future.
Which
they're
implies,
looking at this as a 1 year kind of loop.
Yeah, and that's what they normally do with their games. So they're seeing to their what they normally do.
Oh, and all
do,
power to
right.
them, but it just kind of sucks from my perspective.
Well, I mean, I guess you wonder if they're going to do Blackout every year, or will it be like Zombies is? They don't do it every single year. You know, it takes a year off every now and then.
It'd feel pretty bad if they did Blackout every year. It'd feel just as bad if they did Overwatch every year. Like, you'd be like, that's just so stupid and very annoying.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think Battle Royale should be free. I think that's the best one we've seen.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to pay for cheap. Battle Royale, but cheap. I wouldn't pay full price for just a multiplayer-only game. That was my problem with Overwatch when it first released,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, multiplayer-only. You don't see the value in multiplayer-only experiences.
I just don't think they're worth... Yeah. I don't see them as... equivalent value is something that gives you so much more.
I mean, we've talked about gaming value on Checkpoint before, and it is interesting how people place value on certain things, right? Because you can say, oh, I wouldn't pay for Overwatch because it's multiplayer only, but I did pay for Overwatch a couple of years ago.
It's obviously worth
and
it for so
I
many
played
people.
It so many months. I think I played Overwatch every night for like 6 months, probably more.
Yeah.
And our whole squad did. I got more game time out of Overwatch than I got out of any single player game that I played that year. And, I paid full price for it, but the value in terms of time that I got from it was huge. So, I think we're in a weird space today with video games.
Yeah, I think the industry hasn't, like, solidified what their plan is in the future, because it really does feel like some games are doing this isolated approach. Like, here's one thing and here's another thing, like a standalone experience. And I think a lot of times it really works, and it might be what happens in the future, but there's obviously, like, some companies... like Rockstar, like Activision, who are saying no to that and doing it very successfully. So, yeah.
But again, they are old school, big brand, known brand companies.
Yeah.
You know, I think that indie developers, you know, like the who made PUBG and who did... I know Fortnite's not really an indie, but I mean, it was an unknown quantity. It was a new IP.
Yeah.
So I think that if you're new in the scene, I think that you have to think tactically about how you're going to get longevity and get the player base in. And so I think that, yeah, if you don't have the backing like Rockstar and the budget as well, like Rockstar could probably, because they're still selling GTA 5 so strongly, Red Dead 2 could be a financial failure for them and they'd still be in the green from their previous games and their previous marketing and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they can afford a loss. Nintendo,
not that it's going to be a loss, but yeah.
No. But Nintendo went through that with the Wii U. The Wii U was a loss, but they made so much from the Wii, they were fine. It didn't matter. They didn't need to make a profit on that console at all. They lost a lot of money on that, but they're still cruising through. Now the Switch is a big success. So I think that big brand companies with a lot of money can still do things their way because they do hold that kind of value and almost a monopoly on that market.
Mm.
Call of Duty fans will always buy Call of Duty. Yep. FIFA fans will always buy FIFA. These are brands that have been around for a long, long, long time or be around for a long time to come.
But yeah, and I guess the point I was trying to make that if players do what Activision intend them to do, which feels like they want one-third of their players to be playing zombies, one-third of their players to be playing multiplayer deathmatch, and one-third to be playing Blackout, like, can they sustain a healthy player base for the foreseeable future, or do they just not even care about that? And I guess we'll have to wait and see, right? That's the only outcome of this, whereas somebody who's, like the Rainbow Six Siege is an awesome example. Like, imagine if Siege was a tacked-on experience to a Rainbow Six game. That would have been dead by now. But instead, it's absolutely thriving. Like, it is huge because they were like, no, let's, like, we've got this awesome idea for a cool multiplayer game, and we don't want it to be just a game mode. We want this to be a game and for it to have its own player base and to thrive well into the future. And so they made Siege. They charged people $20, and it's huge. Like, it's a huge game right now.
I think a big part of what we're talking about as well that we haven't touched on really is quality. The quality of these experiences is so important. You know, Fortnite could have been a failure if it was done differently, but it's so much about that game is so well crafted and so well thought about, and the design of it is so specific that it works.
Yep.
And, you know, we've seen other games try the Fortnite approach and fail dismally. You know what I mean? Look at, what was that one that we...
Radical Heights.
Radical Heights. Cliffy B's last game.
Oh, no.
Like, things like that where like, ooh, Battle Royale, this is a trend, let's jump on board. And, you know, you've seen shooters come and go as well that have tried to do the Call of Duty multiplayer setup and not been successful. Well, Battlefield still struggles.
Even Paladins, like, spin-off, which was, once again, a segmented release between Paladins and their Battle Royale, didn't do very well for itself eventually, so...
Look at how Titanfall got completely blown away by, like, Battlefield and Call of Duty. Like, it's just, it's tough.
But doesn't it make you wonder if they released, a Titanfall multiplayer as a standalone experience for free. Like, could there still be a player base today?
Yes.
And that would be thriving and killing it. Like, is that possible?
If they did a Titanfall Battle Royale with the concept of the Titans dropping down and stuff and did it for free, they should do that. You should do that. Make that happen.
We would play your game.
Yeah, do it. Make all the money. I believe in you.
Anyway, that's about all the time we have. We've been talking about segmented games versus like an all-encompassing experience. Luke, thank you for joining me.
You're very welcome.
And we will be back next week. You will not be because you're going overseas.
Nah, I'm out of here, mate.
I will be back. You'll be back. With more intimate goodness.
Love the intimate.